Hi everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lisa Lorraine Smith, the Chief Program Officer here at the Network of Jewish Human Service Agencies. And with me, I have our co-chairs, Stacy Dow from Pittsburgh and Tali Friedman, Kansas City. And we decided that today we were going to have Kimberly Chokchan. I should have actually asked how to pronounce your name.
It's Chohan.
Chohan.
Nothing like it's spelled.
Come talk with us. She is the Vice President of Partnerships for Sterling Volunteers, and she spearheads the Strategic Business Alliances for Sterling Volunteers. She thrives on building long-term mutually beneficial partnerships and has become a trusted advisor to many national nonprofit organizations in screening best practices. She's passionate about educating nonprofits and their affiliates on the important role a quality background screening program plays in helping mitigate risk and creating safer environments. And what's going to be exciting for us, I think, to talk about is how to do that during this time of COVID-19. So without further ado, she's going to present this to us. We'll have this as a recording, so you don't have to take notes. We can send out the slideshow. And then we'll have time to talk amongst ourselves about different things that are happening within the network. And we want to hear what's going on in your agencies. So without further ado, Kimberly, take it away.
Thank you, Lisa. So hello, everyone, and thank you for carving some time out today. As Lisa mentioned, I'm going to be actually touching on five top reasons why you should screen during the pandemic, especially because many of you are using a blend of virtual and in-person volunteers during this time. So to keep everyone safe and the onboarding centralized, after I cover the whys, I'm actually going to show you a snapshot of how we do it that may help. And then I'm going to wrap it up with a few areas of where we are lending a helping hand that may resonate with your current needs. And so as far as questions, if you can save those to the end, just so that we can keep on track and not get derailed on any one particular subject. So, okay, this is not working. Hold on. There we go. So before I dive in, I do want to take a moment to share a brief background on Sterling Volunteers so you all have some context of who we are. And I know some of you on this webinar are clients, but for those who aren't, Sterling Volunteers has been partnered with the Network of Jewish Human Services Agencies for over 5 years now. And we currently serve 41 agencies. And our motto is putting people first always, whether that's internally across our expansive global network or externally with our clients, our partners, candidates, and volunteers. And so Sterling is the parent company of Sterling Volunteers. And for the past 4 decades, they've been a global leader in background screening, identity services, and risk mitigation. And just in the US alone, we have about 30,000 clients that we service for employment screening and around 8,000 nonprofits collectively screening tens of millions of candidates. And then for the volunteer piece of it, we have about 2 million pre-vetted volunteers in our database. And our screening solution is unique in that it's tailored to the specific needs of the service sector. And we built our platform from the comprehensive research that we received from about 450 nonprofits, including some, at that time it was AJFCA agencies, and thousands of volunteers. And we collectively grouped that feedback and that research and built our platform. And we are also the first online community to mobilize repeat vetted volunteers and help those vetted volunteers find nonprofits, which actually aids in strengthening volunteerism in communities across the country. Our core values are centered around safety, quality, compliance, and service. And as we have all witnessed, technology changes at such a rapid pace, and keeping up with innovative technology is important to point out because It allows us to automate more processes and meet the ongoing demands. And ultimately, this helps make your jobs easier and frees up the time that you need so you can focus on other important projects that fuel your mission. And paying close attention to quality of our checks and following the Fair Credit Reporting Act, the FCRA obligations, keep compliant is very critical. Everyone at Sterling is held to the highest legal and ethical standards, and we take consumer privacy rights and compliancy very seriously. And lastly, in 2019, we collectively saved the nonprofit sector around $3.2 million, and this was achieved through our cost-saving measures that we have embedded into our online screening solution. All right, so the burning question is, and that we've been getting asked this question throughout the pandemic, and that is, should we screen our volunteers, especially virtual volunteers? And the short answer is absolutely yes. And it is important to screen all volunteers regardless of their position, whether it's in person, on site, online, over the phone. And the number one reason why screening remains just as critical is it all boils down to safety. All right, so let's start with the top reason on why you should run background checks on all, especially virtual volunteers, and that is to keep vulnerable populations safe. So we know under normal circumstances, when a volunteer has face-to-face interactions with any vulnerable population, as a precautionary safety measure, they are screened before they can participate in the volunteer program. And it's no different during COVID, and should really be considered equally important, even for remote volunteers. And so why is this? Well, because a virtual volunteer is still building that trusted connection directly with the vulnerable individual who is most likely dealing with an elevated level of anxiety and can become even more magnified during the times of uncertainty that this pandemic has brought on. Volunteers with ulterior motives can take advantage of this new situation and misrepresent themselves. And so the lack of screening volunteers could potentially set your organization up for unnecessary risk during what is already a heightened and stressful time for all, especially those in need. The second reason to screen during COVID is because it is a preventative measure to help mitigate risk. If you think about it, in other types of disasters, floods, hurricanes, fires, we see volunteers showing up in droves. But with COVID-19 disaster, it is the complete opposite due to the ominous health risks. And so most organizations we've seen could not deploy their volunteers as they had previously been accustomed to due to either the shelter in place, the social distancing, and this is where the pivot occurs and why due diligence needs to be exercised. There still exists a large number of organizations in dire need of on-site and remote volunteers to help keep their operations and mission functioning. And so putting a background screening program in place can act as an initial deterrent for those with bad intentions, and properly vetting all volunteers can help also reduce the liability and maintain safer environments. So if you think about it, a background check is a history. So what happens when the volunteer starts his or her volunteer service? And so providing monthly updates can help identify new criminal records after the initial check is run, and it adds that layer, additional layer of security. Here at Sterling, we provide those monthly updates for free. So as long as there is no criminal record found, we will run those for a full year. And this helps monitor volunteers while they serve organizations, and the organization will receive real-time email alerts if new information is found. And we also inform the volunteer. We notify them as well. And so you would actually be surprised at the number of criminal records we do find during these monthly updates. So if you forego running background checks on your volunteers, you're not only risking the security of everyone who participates in your volunteer program, but also your organization's assets, reputation, And really overall safety is at risk. So the third reason to screen during this time, and it really is focused on the virtual volunteer, and this could actually be applied to all volunteers if budget allows, but it's the identity verification piece. And this is put in place for safer screening. Identity fraud is becoming more prevalent, and I don't know about any of you on here, but I have been receiving calls and emails that look so real, you know, about, I even received from the Washington State unemployment a valid letter. It was actually official. Someone had stolen my social security number, and they were trying to claim unemployment benefits. So, and I know a plethora of my friends, this is happening too. So identity fraud is ever present throughout this pandemic. And especially with organizations that are onboarding brand new volunteers, they don't have a history with. And so many of their loyal volunteers are finding are not able to volunteer as frequently due to all of the requirements that are put in place by state. And so while we want to believe that volunteers have the best intentions, you know, how can we really be sure? And so there is that increased concern on how to determine that remote volunteers are who they say they are. And so I'm just going to, if we add that verification piece as a precursor to a background check, it'll help bridge that gap. And again, keeping in mind that safety is a top priority. So I just wanted to put on the screen here, we are, because of this whole new world of blending virtual volunteers with on-site volunteers, we've been hearing a lot from our clients about putting this piece, this identity validation in piece. And so we're fine-tuning it. We're in the first phase is complete, and the second phase will be done in Q1. But we want to make sure that we are meeting the demands of our clients in the market, and we want to make sure we're accommodating that. And so this is going to be really key as we adapt to our new reality and as we continue to combat COVID. You know, it's not going away anytime soon, and so this will help with onboarding virtual volunteers. The fourth reason, and as you have recognized, the common theme among these reasons is safety, and it's a foundation of why we background check volunteers and why we recommend screening everyone from volunteers to staff to board members. Safety is also why we have a best practice of annual rescreening, and that's where the monthly updates are attached to. So once that annual check anniversary date, our monthly updates stop until a volunteer rescreens. And so the challenge here is, though, that we know that during COVID, many volunteers have opted out of volunteering altogether, and organizations have had to recruit new volunteers and ones that you may not know or trust, which I had previously mentioned. We also know that many nonprofits are operating with a lean staff and lean budget, and onboarding new volunteers and needing to run background checks may just not make final budget cuts. But the good news is that, and many may not know this, but with Sterling Volunteers, due to our large network of millions of pre-vetted volunteers, volunteers can share their background check. And sharing allows volunteers and nonprofits to save on costs associated with running those additional checks and screening altogether. And it also avoids frustrating wait times. And it also means that organizations can onboard volunteers more quickly, because that volunteer will have already been screened. And so encouraging your volunteers to share their eligible background check with other organizations who are in immediate need of volunteers will not only save money for both volunteers and organizations, but also help mobilize communities of vetted volunteers. Which takes us to the last of the whys of why screen during COVID. And it really is not only a necessity to learn how to effectively train and utilize your virtual volunteers, but also learn how to keep safe those volunteers being deployed on site and in person who are assisting those in need. And organizations across all sectors need to make that determination on how they can support their community. And the COVID-19 pandemic continues to be uncharted waters, and we are navigating this together as it unfolds. But as an organization, you can do your part by fine-tuning your volunteer operations and running a higher quality volunteer background program to really help in our mission to help create those safer environments. So that's the why, those are the whys of why you should screen during COVID. And I'm just gonna quickly show you how, since we are focusing on safety and the new reality of utilizing virtual volunteers or a blend of on-site and remote volunteers, the Sterling Volunteers automated solution fits nicely into that virtual puzzle. It's one super simple workflow, and you can screen all types of volunteers online with no physical interaction, unless of course the position requires an in-person interview. However, we're hearing that many of those interviews are being conducted via video conferencing or on the phone. So we actually empower the volunteer to order and manage their own background check, and so you don't have to worry about that. Quick four-step process done in 3 to 5 minutes. Once the organization has sent them an invite to order their check, they sign up for an account, and then their account, they proceed to step one, which is just entering their name and date of birth and social. And this is, just wanna take a side note here. The social security number is not required in some of our packages. And the reason why is criminal records are not housed by SSN. Many believe that they are, but they're not. They're housed by name and date of birth. And so there's an option for the volunteer can check a box to not provide an SSN, because we also know that people, especially during this time, are uncomfortable providing their social security number. So we do provide that option. The second step is just entering their current address. And then step three is giving their consent to run that background check. And this is also very important, because if you are an organization, say in California, they have their own state summary of rights that needs to be acknowledged. And so through our smart builder technology, you can upload, it automatically uploads all the consent and disclosure documents that are needed. And then in step, the final step is the order summary. And right now we're currently turning around checks in about a day. But if you have a name like a Joe Smith, it's gonna take a little bit longer to make sure that we're really checking the right Joe Smith. We also have this unique optional volunteer contributions. And of our 41 NJHSA members that are using us, on average 20% of the volunteers are taking advantage of this, but even more importantly, it's ending up saving 90% of the cost of the check. So it's really heartfelt when we see these volunteers helping contribute during this time, because as I mentioned before, we have seen, you know, budgets cut, staff being furloughed and let go. And so anywhere that we can help, create a savings, and we can make it as easy as possible. All right, lastly, just showing the admin experience, you can upload all your volunteers in here, and actually there's three columns, and you can put whether they're virtual or in person, and these are customizable columns that you can do really anything that resonates with your specific agency. And it's super easy to just upload every all your volunteers during this time. And so really it's that hardly any manual workflow. It's all automated, which again, during this time is key. And then lastly, I just wanted to share a couple areas where we're lending a helping hand. There are volunteer programs, and I'm not sure if any of, what states you're in, but there are some states that are starting to make it a requirement to fingerprint. But we know during COVID that they can't execute it because many fingerprinting facilities are closed. So what we actually are providing We have those, but we also have the name-based searches, which is what our bread and butter is. And so it's also important to note that, and I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but during COVID, because the courts were closed, there were many screening providers that could not fulfill background checks because they literally have court runners that go to the courts. But we have, ours is automated about 85% of the courts through our court direct technology. And so we've been operating at a 99% fulfillment rate, even during COVID, where we hear others were operating around a 30%. So even though some of the fingerprinting locations are closed in the courts, our complete level name-based search is actually more in-depth search and sometimes finds more criminal records than a fingerprint database. And the main reason why, and this is per the FBI, the fingerprint database is only 55% accurate. And it's because it's an aggregated database that requires individual jurisdictions and municipalities to submit their records, and they're not required to. So it's kind of shocking that it's only 55% accurate, and it doesn't check the Department of Justice, NSOPW, the National Sex Offender Public Registry, which should be the foundation of any background check program. It's the NSOPW is real time, and it's the most comprehensive sex offender database. So that in itself should be the minimum of what you do, and it's actually free. You can go on the NSOPW and type in a name and location. You just have to proceed with caution, because if you're dealing with a very common name, you have to double check that it's the individual that you are in fact running a background check on. We automated the process for you, and it's included in the packages, but you can do it on your own for free. And so, and I'm not sure everyone knew that. And just to really quickly, another way where we're lending a helping hand, and some of you may know this because we do have a handful of agencies using our free checks, but during this time, again, we know budgets are lean, and so we're offering the basic check for free. And we're offering that through the end of the year. So we initially put the end date at August 31st, but we saw so many nonprofits still in need of this and just doing the basic at a bare minimum. And so that is what we're providing through the end of the year. And then you can see our complete level, which is on par with fingerprinting. And it has all the necessary components to make up a high quality compliant check. And then lastly, since COVID is top of mind, a couple of months ago, and this is how also we're delivering value to nonprofits, is that we've launched our COVID-19 testing services. And it is now becoming a daily focal point of how nonprofits operate. So we know that this is a stressful time for everyone. But we're in it with you, and we can help ease that burden with end-to-end COVID testing. You know, as we face that uncertainty and try to navigate through this pandemic together and redefine our approach and best practices to help protect not only our assets, but yours. And again, safeguarding the vulnerable populations. It all ties back to safety, as I have said many times. And because these new health testing services help bring safety into volunteer and work environments, this is becoming a very popular product. And so we have the active virus testing, which informs whether an employee has active virus. Antibody testing, which informs whether the employee has developed the antibodies to the COVID-19 virus. And then we have additional on-site services such as temperature checks, et cetera. And again, as we all continue to navigate and collaborate and cautiously move forward through this crisis, we know safety will always be top of mind, and we are here to help and where we can encourage working together and attain a semblance of peace amid all this chaos. we're here to do that. And I know this is very quick, short, and brief, and there's a lot more on this subject, but Lisa, I'm now at the end, so I'll pass it back to you to see if there's any questions.
Okay, so it looks like we have a few questions in the chat. Dana said, question regarding sharing BCS. When we initiate a background check, we'll flag it so we know if the volunteer is already in the system.
Yes. So, you're talking about sharing. So if you're receiving the check?
Either way, just, I'm guessing we don't know what we don't know. And so if a lot of different organizations beyond NJHSA use Sterling Volunteer and a volunteer who we're onboarding already has done a background check, there's an opportunity to save money, it sounds like.
There is. So in the volunteers account profile, if you're in our online network and you're needing volunteers, they can plug in their zip code and you'll show up, and then they can literally just click the share button and you'll receive it automatically. They can also share outside the network by just printing out their background check and delivering or mailing it in or emailing it in. And then if one of your volunteers shares, their name will be highlighted in your dashboard so you know that they're sharing outside your network and vice versa. Does that make sense?
Okay, the next question from Sherry. We use Sterling, but we do not receive monthly updates. How can we activate this? Is there an additional charge?
So there's no charge, but my first question is, do you use Sterling for employees or volunteers or both?
We use it for both, but in my department it's just volunteers.
Okay, so I'm surprised you're monthly updating because that's an automated feature. I will email our advocates team to make sure that feature is turned on, because usually when you're, have you been a long time customer?
This is my fourth year, but we've been using Sterling for much longer than that.
Okay, I'm surprised. So, Sherry, I'm going to email our advocates and make sure that those monthly updates are turned on. And they already may be. It kind of operates in the background. And when you receive a volunteer's background check, at the top, it'll show like green marks of each month that it was checked that no record was found. So I'll go back in. I'll have them, because I don't have access to it, and make sure it's turned on for you. And then I'll have them reach out to you.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
So this is Lene in Houston. We only get those monthly updates if there's a problem. You can go into your database and see that everybody's running. You can see the monthly updates, but you only get an email, or at least for us for the past 4 years, we only get an update if there's an issue. So if somebody gets arrested for something, then it'll notify you. Otherwise, it's just in the background.
Right. So, and that's what I want to double check, Sherry, to see if you may not know it's happening. Because again, and we find about 20% new criminal records throughout the year. And so you're not going to get notified each month that you're running a monthly update. You're only going to get notified if there's a hit. And then you have to decide, you know, based on your internal policy, how you're going to handle that volunteer. And that actually brings up a really good point, adverse action, which I don't know if any of you are aware of it, some of you may be, but if you decide not to make a volunteer eligible to serve, or you do not hire an employee based on something that was found in the background check, you have to follow adverse action, and it's sending pre and post notification letters. We have complimentary templates if anyone wants us to send. We can also manage that for a small fee, because we know sometimes it's an uncomfortable situation. But just know that by not following adverse action, that's when you see civil lawsuits take place.
I just want to say something, Kimberly, that some Jaya Toronto also doesn't get updates. So I'm going to look at this email, this chat, and send you the information from different people who have said different things about what you can check up on.
Yeah, okay? I'm pretty sure the monthly updates are happening, but I will definitely double check. Yeah.
You're muted, Stacey.
Okay. So Melanie asked, I've been using Sterling but haven't received monthly updates. Okay, so we just went over that. Do you recommend the volunteer getting rescreened every year? I am doing the rescreening more infrequently for our regular volunteers.
It's a best practice that we follow. Again, a background check is a history check. So, you know, what are their intentions as they start, their intentions as they start serving? You don't have to do a rescreen annually, but that's how our monthly updates are based, is that once that anniversary date comes up, until that volunteer gets a new background check, those monthly updates will stop. So that's another reason why you may not be seeing monthly updates if the volunteer has been with you longer than a year and you haven't rescreened. So again, it's a best practice. Youth sports requires annual rescreening, and there's other sectors, education, but we see some don't rescreen, you know, every 2, 3, even 4 years. A lot can happen during that time though.
And then Alana, I'm sorry, skipped over this question. They also use Sterling. However, we don't get a notification when a volunteer has completed it and whether their status is clear. Is there a way to change that?
Well, it's all in your dashboard. There's a column that basically says when the volunteer is, we auto adjudicate clears, but it will, the status will show in your dashboard. So we don't send an email alert, because you can imagine if you're an organization with 500, you're going to be getting all these emails. So that's the dashboard is great for that, because you can manage everything in one centralized location. And there's also, and I can go back up to it really quick. There's also right here, a little donut, colorful donut that will show you, you know, what stage your volunteers are at. And then the status column over to the right will show whether it's pending review, eligible, ineligible, et cetera.
So that was actually my question. So we are based in Canada and we use Sterling, but the interface looks really different. I'm wondering if maybe your Canadian website is different from your American one.
It is. So Canadian, and we're actually working on that right now to see if we can merge the two. But right now, because we can't invoice in Canadian dollars, our US platform does not support Canadian organizations.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Then when do you anticipate that merge will happen?
There's talk of end of Q1.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Canadian, I mean, it makes sense, right? We many of our partners, like NJHSA, has a Canadian footprint, and same with our integration partners. And so we've been having this on our roadmap, and it seems like every year things trump the, not to mention the, you know, former president, but They tend to trump the roadmap, but it's one of my big goals for 2021, just because we get more and more inquiries from Canada.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, like, because at this point I have to log, I have to actually click every single volunteer and check if they're clear or not, because, you know, I don't get any notification coming in.
Yeah, it's definitely, this is U.S. based, and the Canadian Sterling back check platform operates a little bit differently.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Sherry asked a little more. With this new volunteer experience, do they still need our company code? If it's portable, I'm not sure how they get it to us unless they are still using a company code. Also, you stated it is free for basic searches through the end of the year, but we are still being charged.
Well, it's not automatic. You have to call in and say that you want that, and then we will update your account and it will happen the same day. And actually 80% of the agencies that are using us, they don't run the free, they run the advanced. So if during this time you want to adjust that and run the basic check, then we can do that for you. You just have to let me know and I will again get with the advocates and have them switch the package and switch it to free.
So Stacey, I think that we should thank Kimberly. And the only reason I'm saying there's still a bunch of questions left, but what I was thinking is potentially everyone who asked these questions, like you were able to print out reports or whatever, I guess you can answer that pretty quickly, or how much it costs. If you want to find out, I suggest that you reach out to Kimberly directly, right? Would that be helpful so that
you can answer
all your questions?
Yeah, and we have a team because some states have nuances to their laws, and so we have experts that I can connect you to. But we, you know, being a partner, we've got significantly discounted pricing, including that free basic that's happening through the end of the year.
Okay, is that okay with everyone? Because we have a lot for us to discuss, and I want to make sure we have the time to do that. But Kimberly, please put your email in the chat, and whoever's interested in following up with her about any of this, please, please, please do.
I was just going to say thank you to Kimberly, and just, I think, you know, just the due diligence that your company does and that you do a lot of training. I think for us volunteer professionals, it's really helpful to have kind of some of that information and education as well. So thank you guys.
Thank you for all your questions, and I will answer every single one. If you guys can reach out to me and make sure you get your questions answered.
Terrific. Thank you so much. You really are always a very good partner to NJHSA and hopefully to the agencies that are using your services as well. So thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
I was going to say, so now I will drop off.
Thank you. Sorry. I just was realizing that the time was running short and wanted to give everyone an opportunity to talk with each other. The first thing I wanted to say is that Tali, who just had a little bite to eat because she must be so hungry, she had a very busy day. It's her birthday. Happy birthday, Tali.
Happy birthday.
And I don't know if Stacy wants to say anything.
Yes. So I am resigning from my position. So this will be my last call with everyone. And it's been really awesome being with you all. I have never met you in person, but it's just been so great to like be on this call and work with Tali and Lisa. And it's just really, really been awesome. I just wrote my volunteers an email this morning and it was really sad because I haven't seen them in like 8 months. So yeah, it's definitely sad, but yeah, it's just been great getting to know every one of you. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Tali. Thank you, Stacy. You really stepped up. No. When we first started this, to be the co-chair of this group. And I want to thank Tali as well, because I think it was your idea originally to even have this group. And then we got Stacy on because I think you two knew each other somehow and thought that you would be a good team. And clearly you were. So I really thank you. Which leads me to the next conversation that we're about to have. I don't know, Tali, if you wanted to start that conversation about the co-chairs and moving forward, or do you want me to?
Sure, no, I can start. So, as you just heard, Stacy is moving on and I will be also taking a leave. I'm expecting a little baby at the end of January, so I'll be taking some time away as well. So we and Stacy and I have been doing this for about 2 years. So we are looking for some new blood to lead this amazing group. So I think I'll let Lisa announce that we may have one of the co-chairs, but we're going to be looking for another person. I know for me, it's been a really meaningful opportunity to connect with Lisa and Stacy and kind of figure out what we want to talk about and share with all of you and just help lead this group. So we're excited for the future and direction that we continue on, and we all do such meaningful and important work. So we will be looking for another person. It really is a pretty easy role. So we meet in between the calls. I think the calls are every 8 or so weeks, every 2 months, and just kind of check in. I know the last few, basically since COVID started, it's been a little more open-ended, and I think that's been really great just to have people be able to share. Sometimes we have topics, really kind of whatever the feedback we get from the group, and then just kind of brainstorming together. So Stacy or Lisa, I'll let you jump in, but just we're excited. It's bittersweet to move out of the role, but I'll still be here as part of the group. So
I just want to second Tali. It's just been so great getting to talk with Tali and Lisa, and then just like hearing what everyone wants to talk about. I know that I just got a lot of great ideas from you all of things that I hadn't even realized before because we had never done it here. And so like Tali said, it's been pretty chill because of COVID. I think that the open-ended discussions have been really meaningful. So yeah, I definitely encourage someone to step forward and just, it's great. And Lisa really will, really guide you at the beginning. And then if you want to take over a little more, she'll definitely let you do that because she's quite busy. So yeah, just, I wanted to say it's a really great group. Yeah.
Yeah. So we do have one person who is, thank you, Tali, who is going to be taking on the role as co-chair, Belinda Lasky from Alpert JFS. And we just, it's always nice to have a co-chair. It's fun to work together. And if anyone's interested, let me know. And I can then reach out to your supervisor, or you can reach out to your supervisor, because we always have to have approval from, whoever is in charge of you, to let them know that you may be taking time away from work at your agency to work with the network. So that's the big plug. And I just can't thank Tali and Stacy enough. Thank you both so much for being there for me and for this group. So that's one thing. The second thing is that, as you all saw, I hope you saw, the RFPs have gone out for the annual conference, which is taking place April 19th to the 22nd. Did everyone get that? You can just shake your head yes. Okay, so the big news is that, whoever didn't get it, let me know. It went out, I can send it to you again. We're having a program showcase, which is just for volunteers, right? So there's going to be a program showcase of volunteers. We're having 8 different program showcases. So if you all have any program that you are, think is something that could be replicable in other, agencies, you do 5 minutes, 5 slides. We're actually giving you 8 minutes, 8 minutes, 5 slides. And hopefully we can all learn from each other. And then there's going to be an opportunity within that virtual time for you to talk with the agency, which has, is promoting their program. So, what are you proud of? What do you think you've done that's really cool, I guess? What do you think other agencies could do in their communities? So hopefully some of you will send in an application. So those are all the things that we had to say. And now we have, and the last thing, that's not really over, is that moving forward, starting in January, we're only having 50-minute groups, 50, not an hour, because people are going from Zoom to Zoom to Zoom, and no one has time to even breathe or go to the bathroom or have a banana. So starting in the new year, we're going to 50-minute affinity groups. I really am done now. Anyone can talk about anything that's going on in their communities, respond to anything we're saying. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, we have about 15 minutes left if anybody has any pressing challenges or questions or wants to share something. I see Lori.
Yeah, hi everyone, and happy birthday. I was trying to figure out how to get more volunteers involved in helping seniors with tech. And the roadblock has been that the seniors are so deficient in this area that it almost requires a personal meeting. And so I'm kind of interested in other people, if they've done it in any kind of scale and what they've done and best practices.
Have you stumped the group?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, the few really skilled people, you know, they want to go in person, and, you know, it's not a good time for that. But yeah, so just interested in what everybody else is doing around that.
You know, hi, it's Dina from Atlanta. We have a lot of our programming now as virtual through our older adult services, through our Cafe Europa became virtual for our Holocaust survivors, and then our AgeWell communities are all virtual. And we have a lot of seniors that are on there, so I'm not sure what they've done for the seniors who weren't proficient, but I will try and find out for you from that department. But they've been able to get a lot of our seniors online and participating in this virtual programming. But we definitely do not have any individuals going to meet in person with our older adults because they're just too vulnerable right now. Mm-hmm. I'd be walking them through it. I think our case managers have just been walking them through it by phone and trying to get them to do it. But I'll try and find out if they've had any success with getting people online who weren't already comfortable with it.
Thank you.
Sure.
Sherry, yeah.
I have a response to Lori. This isn't something that I've done personally, but because we can't have the interaction, but our senior department has been working with a company called Uniper, UNIPER, and they have actually helped our seniors so that they can participate in online activities through their television. And I don't have all the details, but you should definitely look into that because we've had a lot of success with our Holocaust survivor population and engaging them through that different technology.
Right, the network. Did you get that through the network, the JFNA grant, working with Uniper, Sherry?
I believe they did, yes. Yes, thank you for that.
And I think that there's going to be another RFP. I know we're working with Uniper for people with disabilities as well as seniors. So be on the lookout for that, Lori. You should all be on our mailing list because there's so many different opportunities that are coming up. It's kind of amazing and wonderful, you know, at the same time.
Christina, I think you were going to speak, so feel free.
Similarly, we've utilized our seniors department and our home support team. We have a home support department that has sort of assisted for ad hoc tasks that require someone to be in the home because we're also not having volunteers enter any physical spaces with people who would be like immune compromised. Mm-hmm. So typically we've set them up with a home support worker or a case manager who would enter the house to assist with any sort of like basic needs around like technology, if it's like using an iPad or getting on Zoom.
So Lene, what are you saying about thank you so much, Christina. Lene is saying something about AARP. What is going on there? Yeah. Lene. We can't hear you.
Seniors, and so if they can get themselves to the AARP website, then I think there are some videos and there are some classes that they can, kind of like webinars, that will teach them. And I've heard that they're pretty good.
That's great. I haven't heard that before.
The challenge is that some of them are so, you know what I mean? They're lost. A few, you know.
Some of them may have short-term memory issues, and so it's just not going to get there. But maybe they have caregivers that mm-hmm. could sit with them, yeah. because mm-hmm. a lot of them that are that lost usually do have somebody that comes in several times a week at least. So.
And Tali, what is that one? Anydesk.com? What is that?
Yeah, I think it's anydesk.com, and it's just a tool. It's really basic, and it's like you can remote into someone's computer or tablet. So both parties have to agree to it, but we've had a few of our tech volunteers using it. And it's been really a great tool for them to just be able to kind of see what's going on the computer and help kind of navigate that. I would say also, like, this might be another place to explore having a second call and maybe opening it up to not just volunteer professionals, because we've been doing a tech pilot. We call it Help at Home Tech Connect. And we've been doing 10 weeks with really small groups of older adults. Like, some of them are level one, like they've had a little bit of tech experience. Some are like level zero, like none. And it's been, we ended up hiring a temp for that position. So it's been just like, they spent months and months kind of thinking through what it would look like, and still been lots of challenges. And now we're trying to figure out, okay, how do we incorporate volunteers? We're looking at more of the one-to-one. So like these small groups have been, they have a 10-week curriculum, but could we have volunteers in between those weeks practicing what it's like to FaceTime or whatever the different skills that they're learning? So we're working on that right now. But I do think it'd be really interesting to have a call, like an NJHSA call, that maybe some of the organizations who are doing tech programs can share, and then we can.
Well, I think that's a great idea. Or if you're doing it, we can also put it into the program showcase, right? That's the perfect kind of a program that other agencies could learn from, but we can do.
Yeah, but I don't want to wait till April.
I got it. We can do both. Right. I understand. That's the thing. But think about what you are doing, because I'm sure all of you are doing some interesting programs and projects.
I'm wondering if people, sorry to change the subject, but if people are now having to look at their volunteer activities and kind of pull back a little bit. I know that just this week we've had the whole country has significant increases in positivity rates. And so we're kind of now like where we were going to have small, really small groups of volunteers come and wrap gifts, like even in family groups, we're now kind of putting the whole kibosh on that. Like anything that's not essential, we're cutting back. So I'm just curious if other people are finding that, or we're the only ones, or what people are doing with that.
Detroit's cutting back. I saw you nodding your head, Emily. And Rosie, what were you going to say?
Yeah, we're cutting back on a couple of our holiday programs, or we're putting them more, like we have an adoptive family program where people would get gifts and then deliver them to the agency, and then we would get, you know, clients would come in. So it's going to be all online now with like gift cards and sending them to them this year. So we've had to pull back on that.
And Rosie, were you going to say something? Yeah. You're muted.
We are also increasing our volunteer volunteer group. We're expanding on our friendly caller program. We've transitioned from friendly visitors and tutors and any volunteers that had direct client contact, including our drivers program, and we're enlisting them. We have started a very successful friendly caller program, fun friendly calling. And we also have received a grant for 40 clients of ours to receive Echo Dot technology, Amazon Echo Dots. So we're also recruiting volunteers to teach and train how to use that technology, because as we all know, because we've all gone virtually, one of the biggest obstacles is that clients or participants or community members either cannot afford, don't have Wi-Fi or access to technology. So we are expanding our friendly caller program that was based on our client roster to now the community. And originally we were focusing on more senior members, but with the displacement that COVID-19 has caused to young adults who have had to move to different cities or moved out of the cities, they're displaced, people are separated. So we now are including college age and up in terms of people who we're going to encourage to participate in the friendly calling program.
Nice.
I can add on as well for our JFCS program in South Jersey. We've had to, because of the increase in COVID recently, add more strict requirements. So for example, our grocery deliveries and our meal deliveries have been contactless. And despite that, we have put even more restrictions now because of the increases. And now if anyone has traveled to or through or stayed for more than 24 hours in any hotspot in the United States, we are asking them not even to be involved with contactless deliveries. At this point, it's only if you haven't traveled anywhere and you haven't contact with anybody. So we really lost a lot of volunteers for our Thanksgiving meal deliveries. And I had to like personally call people and recruit and try to get people to help us out. So we have added additional restrictions.
So Karen Farrow, you want to tell us about that VOY Appreciation Awards event, which was a drive-through food truck event? Oh, she doesn't have audio capability now. The volunteers RSVP'd and placed their orders in advance. That seems kind of fun. That would be a good one to learn about. Are you still there at our program showcase? And the adoptive family program was also a drive-through style. Yeah, that's interesting. So does anyone else have anything they want to say in these last 3 minutes besides happy birthday and we're going to miss Stacy? And you're taking a leave of absence. Where is Tali? Just for 3 months? Tali?
Sorry, I have someone who just walked in.
Do they know you're pregnant? I'm kidding. She's due in a month. Are you're planning to come back to the office, right? Or maybe I shouldn't be saying that now. I don't know. Okay. Okay. So we're going to say goodbye and good luck with everything. Have a wonderful birthday, even better year. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Everyone stay safe, stay well. Bye, Stacy.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you all. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.